listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stairs. You know they just don't care. I can't take the smell. I can't take the noise. Got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice.
Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Because a man with a tow truck repossessed my car.
Hey, ha, 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 ha. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
I'm trying not to lose my head.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Monday,
I think. Yes.
Memorial Day Monday.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people cooking out right now. Might be some people out there. Maybe you got, you know, y'all about to throw in the old school jams. I don't know. You know, maybe that one uncle with the Crown Royal stitch shorts and tracksuit showed up. I don't know how y'all getting down this week, but we are definitely still podcasting. And in addition to just podcasting, we also have guests. That's right. It's not just an average Monday here at the Blackout Tips. We've gone out and got, somebody you're familiar with that you probably heard all kinds of times. If you listen to Twib, if mm-hmm. you listen to this show, even if it's just through the chat room or whether it's through the episode that she was on, it's our girl June from Harlem. What's going on, June?
Hey, everybody. What's up? What's good? I missed y'all and I'm so happy for all of your successes and I only want more for you. I love you.
I appreciate the positivity you always bring. Mm-hmm. And, what have you been up to?
Well, I had to change my life. And thankfully, in my old life, I'm trying to work certain words out of my vocabulary. So I'm not going to say a strong sister. What I am going to say is that this is a woman who, when she puts her mind to something, it gets done. And her level of dedication is something that I hope to live up to. And when she asked me to be on the board of her organization, I said yes, so I could bring my talents to the table. I ain't got no money, but I can do a whole lot of other stuff. And I knew that you guys were there, and hopefully we can get the word out about why she started this organization, the Lipedema Queen, what it's about, and its importance. So that's what I've been doing, is working with Ms. Katia Page on her project, the Lipedema Queen.
I feel like that is a better introduction than I could have gave Katia myself. Like, I asked June about her, and she introduced Katia. But yeah, the new voice, the second voice that you guys heard on the show is Katia. What's going on, Katia?
Hey, how are y'all doing? Hi, Rod. Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you for coming on. Mm-hmm. We've been just chatting before the show even started. We were just warming up, getting everything working. And the conversation was so good. I was like, are we giving away, you know, good podcasting here? Like, I hate to make Katia repeat herself, but can you tell some people about Lipedema and exactly what your organization is about?
No problem. I'll start off with Lipedema is. Lipedema is a fat disorder. It's a fat disease. It mimics obesity. It generally affects the limbs, the arms, and the legs, but when go untreated long, it can push up into the trunk of the stomach. And if it goes untreated, it can also turn into lymphedema too, which I both have both of them. I'm stage 4, actually. I'm stage 4 lymphedema and lymphedema. They call it lipolymphedema. Mm-hmm. And I was diagnosed back, I want to say March of 2014 or whatever. And that's when I also found out my mother had the disease also, when I found out I had it. And it could be hereditary, and it could present itself during puberty, pregnancy, childbirth, premenopause, during and after, anything that has a hormone diversity, that's when the disease could take flight on you. Mm. And it's kind of scary, because one minute you could be like a size 5, and then the next minute you wake up, you like a size 16 with like a size 5 top. So it's like, it really kind of deforms your body, and it can cause a lot of serious health issues. And I lost my mother to complications of the disease last year, 2 weeks after my birthday in September. So that was like a big wake up call for me, because insurance don't cover nothing. Especially if you have like Medicare or Medicaid, it's like you're not getting anything covered.
And what were the signs that made you realize like, okay, this is something different than just, you know, weight gain and whatnot?
Well, I always noticed I used to bruise a lot, but I just thought because, you know, I just bruise easily. I noticed because I swelled a lot too, but that was because I had picked up the lymphedema aspect of it. And also I would lose weight in my midsection, but everywhere else, the legs and these arms would stay the same. And I used to be like, what's going on? Like I used to power lift and lift weights and swim and did everything, boxing. And the weight wouldn't go nowhere. And, you know, all the doctors would tell you, you know, you need to back away from the table and exercise more. I'm like, okay, I'm working out 3 hours a day, some say 3-4 days at a time, and then one day I'll be lifting weights with my trainer. I'm like, look, I don't gain the trainers, the diet industry with all them diet pills, a lot of money. What's going on? Went vegetarian. You know, I gave up the meat.
That's when you know it's real.
Like, you know, so our sister was hungry to try to get this weight off. And it's like, and I used to wonder, my mother was the same way. She had a small waist. And my mother used to walk every day. I mean, long, like a couple miles a day. And the weight wouldn't go nowhere on her either. And it's just like, what's going on? You know, I would have never thought there was such thing as lymphedema and fat disorders until I found out back in, you know, in 2014. There's so much stuff that's out there that they don't publicize, like Durkheim's disease, that's another fat disorder. They don't publicize these things, you know, and people walking around killing themselves and having eating disorders because they don't want to talk about it, because in the diet industry, will suffer, because if you have a disease that diet pills and exercise and stuff can't do nothing to, then only a surgically removing it, then, you know, and it's hard. It's really hard. And me losing my mother was what prompted me to want to start the organization, because there's awareness, there's getting more momentum with the awareness about lymphedema, but we needed something so that women who can't afford compression garments, they supplement their hormone therapy and the surgeries and stuff so that they can have a, you know, an opportunity to get the things that they need, because there's no cure for the disease. All they can do is try to slow it down and try to reverse it through surgery, but there's no cure yet. So opportunities to get the help that they need.
What test would somebody tell their doctor to give them if they wanted to be tested for this? Like, because since you've been through this, you've kind of been through the process of all the tests. And I know if when you go to the doctor and they nobody knows, they end up doing a bazillion tests on you. So is there any way to streamline this for somebody if they have questions or if they have some of these same symptoms? Like, what can they do to ask their doctor to test them for this?
See, the sad part of this, it's like, it's a special way that they do this testing. They actually have to literally fill your body up, because if you used to feel my leg, it doesn't feel normal, because it sits in your body so long, it actually turns fibrotic. It's like the fat in your body is like almost turning into like a rock formation. So it feels, it doesn't feel normal. You know how you feel on some fat girls and or a fat guy, and they feel all nice and squishy and soft? This stuff don't feel nice and squishy and soft and sweet when the disease starts getting really bad. It starts actually hardening or whatever. So, yeah. And when you have to have surgery, and I had 4 surgeries thus far, they kind of had to dig it out like they rock climbing.
Wow.
So, and I'm up during my surgery, so I see.
Do they have to, like, whenever they remove fibroids, is it, because you said it's similar to fibroids, is it something to where they are
fibroidic?
Oh, fibrotic. Okay, so are they pockets? Are they clustered? Like,
they kind of like mold together and harden. Mm. I wish I had the thing because I could have actually showed the picture if you could stomach it. And it kind of looks like, how you say, it looks like clusters, and it looks like, because it doesn't look normal. Mm-hmm. Because fat is usually yellow, but this stuff actually turns like a very funny looking color. It just don't look normal at all. You could definitely tell something's wrong.
And do you have a hard time with people pushing back on it, like saying, oh, I don't believe in this? Because, you know, when people are ignorant to something, a lot of times it challenges, you know, whatever they considered, especially with weight gain, because I feel like people look at weight as a moral issue. Like, you're just weak morally, and that's the real problem here, because people like to get really judgmental. So do you have to deal with that kind of backlash?
You know what? Kind of, because so far people who know me know I'm not like an Asian person, know I'm very outgoing or whatever. So I don't have too much of it, but then people who don't know me at all, when they first look at me, I might get it, but they're not stupid enough to say it quite in my face, so to say.
Right.
But if I had people come up to me and ask me, because if you see my legs, you'd be like, you could say something's definitely wrong with her. It doesn't look normal. Mm-hmm. So people will come and ask me, like, what's wrong with your legs? And then I will explain to them. And after I explained, then they're like, you know, I have an aunt who looks like that. I didn't know that's what she might be suffering from. Mm-hmm. So I get a lot of that where people come and ask me. And I even have little kids that ask me, you know, sometimes they say it nice. Sometimes they be like, mommy, she's fat. What's wrong with her? You know, you get that too, but that's just an opportunity to teach them so that they know. So if you see another big lady, you can know, oh, she might be sick. So don't just be mean and say, oh, look at the fat lady, because the fat lady might be sick. So, you know, I use that as a teaching opportunity to help others learn more about it. So the ignorance level will go down. So just a little.
Is this something that only affect women? Or does it affect men? Is it more prevalent in the African-American community? Or is it women across the board?
It's women. It's actually women across the board. It mainly affects women, but I just heard of a case that they said a man might have it, but it prevalently is only in women. Mm. And because it's a hormone thing, and like I said, it affects us, you know, puberty, pregnancy, premenopause, menopause, and stuff like that. Too much stress and trauma, childbirth, all those different things. Anytime when a hormone will go crazy, this will go crazy right along with it. And if you have other female issues like PCOS or endo, you know, that can also further make this disease go progress even faster. So if you have those other issues, you have to get that in check in order to kind of slow this disease down. So it's like imperative that you make sure you get your hormones checked and everything like that so that you don't make the disease go, you know, progress even faster.
And what's PCOS and endo?
PCOS, polycystic syndrome, and the other one is endometriosis. That's another female issue. I don't remember the exact word for it, because both of them makes weight gain in women.
Okay.
And endo makes your stomach swell a lot. If you see some women, they look like they might be possibly pregnant. Mm-hmm. A lot of women who suffer with that, they have issues, you know, where their stomach swells up and they have issues with their woman part with those two diseases or whatever. And with PCOS, it also kind of sometimes makes it hard for women to get pregnant also when they suffer with that also.
Okay, yeah, because I've never, like, it, you must say that a lot, because you said endo and I was immediately thinking like the chronic or something, because I was like, don't use this with the chronic. Okay, so don't want to get that, don't want to mess that up. Have people in the community been supportive to, because like I said, I feel like when people are learning about something for the first time, you know, especially like you, I mean, and it seems that you are really good with dealing with the fact that some folks are going to be maybe ignorant or whatever, but but a lot of times that's how you begin to learn. Once people do begin to learn, have people been very supportive?
Like, the more people I'm speaking to, like, more of my family and friends who didn't know, but a lot of them did, but, like, more people that I've been reaching out to, like church members and different things, and, you know, more medical community who might not, didn't know about it, I have been getting more good leeway, so to say. So that's why I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements, you know, going around letting women know, like, look, this is what's going on, you know, so... Because it's very imperative for me to get the word out, because it's 17 million women in the United States who suffer with this and don't know, and being misdiagnosed with an underdiagnosed. And the key to this disease is to catch it early.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you catch it early, you can kind of, you know, slow down the progression. Because if you know, you got to keep your hormones in check. So you know every 6 months to a year, you know to go have your blood work to make sure your hormones is not going crazy. You know, certain foods that we're allergic to, that
cornbread. Cornbread. There was an incident.
Yes.
What, now, what happened with cornbread?
You don't tell the story. What happened?
Well, we were having our first get-together sessions and laying out the conference and figuring out, okay, this is the big dream. Now, how do we climb the ladder to get there? And I had made, since my old man's a diabetic, his mother's a diabetic, everybody knows a diabetic, I got to make everything from scratch. So I'm thinking, I'm doing a good thing. The only treat I had was cornbread. And I had put vanilla and everything in it, so I had the grilled chicken, the healthy grilled chicken with the homemade barbecue sauce and everything, but I gave her cornbread. And we were sitting there and everything was good, and then everything changed literally in an instant. And that's something I notice about this disease, is that if there's something that comes in and throws off, you know it right away, and it's a suffering thing. And I know that it's somewhat new, and when I look at people and I see and I go, they possibly have this situation, like, I know if it's too hot or if they're not eating right or something, and I see that look on their face, I'm like, oh God, this sister, she's dying. And because a lot of us, especially here in Harlem, we're all on the Medicaid, Medicare train, there's nobody trying to deal. It's almost like they don't even want to say the word, like, shh, we're not talking about that over here. So I'm glad they're a little bit more receptive over there in Jersey, and I'll never give her cornbread again. Like, even for the conference, we're being very sensitive about the food we serve, because we don't want everybody to, like, you know, literally double in size because what we fed them aggravated their situation. Like, you got to be knowledgeable with what's going on with you and know what sets you off.
So it was like I want to ask just out of lack of knowledge. So it was like an instant, like almost like a balloon swelling or something?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yes.
Now, here's the other thing. Was the cornbread good?
Yes, it was.
Damn good.
And you know what the sad part of it is? I probably would have eaten it again and been home having to wrap my legs again on my machine.
Yeah,
I bet it was. June gonna have to cook for us one day.
That is when you know it's good.
It was a film small piece. That was the killer part. Just that little slither made me. Oh,
yeah.
It sound like
got a lot of work done, but yeah, that was the tragedy of the day. No more cornbread, like no corn, no corn on the cob, no corn, no corn.
Katia sound
no,
like
no corn products. Nope.
Katia sound like my one Muslim uncle that come by Thanksgiving and be like, oh, this ham is, this is some, go ahead, nephew, go ahead and slide me a piece of that ham real quick. Just cut it out for yourself. Let me smell it.
Get a whiff. We always be messing with him.
You know, the minister say we can't eat none of this delicious honey baked ham. I'm just not even going to try it.
I'm a vicariously eat it through you.
Right. He want to look at me eat it so he can be like, is it everything I dreamed of? Now, what are the, you say you've had 4 surgeries, Katia. What are the challenges of, you know, treatment?
Challenges of treatment? What, during surgery, after surgery, before?
Yeah.
It's all one big challenge.
It's definitely, especially because after the surgery, they have to pump what is called like a tumescent fluid into your leg or whatever to numb you out, because since I can't be put to sleep, right. So they have to stick these bags of this fluid in to numb me out. And after the surgery, they have to squeeze me like a lemon to get all that stuff out.
Wow.
They have to be like a lemon. They had to mummify me so I could go home with the bandages and stuff on, so I don't be dripping all over the place and then my truck get home.
Wow.
And I want to say the first surgery, I dripped maybe 2-3 days.
Mm.
My second surgery, I dripped a whole week.
Mm.
My third surgery, I dripped a couple of days. And my fourth surgery, I dripped like 2 days.
Mm.
So yeah, each surgery was different. Each surgery, I had different things happen. Like my first surgery, I was back on my feet like 2 days later, drove to Washington, D.C., walked in the fashion show with the bandages still on my leg and took pictures to help train doctors and everything. 2 days off the table. My second surgery, it had me in the bed. I couldn't eat.
Mm.
I was dripping all over the place. My stomach was killing me. Like, because they did the part with my lymphatic system is bad. And anywhere, I guess, where that old fluid is like stays in my body the most, and they do that area, it's the area where I notice the healing time takes a little bit longer. So the inner part of my leg is the part where I have the hardest part with the healing, because that's where the fluid usually like puddles on me or whatever. So yeah.
Man.
And
that is wow. That is like I can't even imagine. And then like once you go through it and you know you got more coming, it's just like that you gotta really be dedicated to fighting it, man, to be like, yep, for three
gotta months. Do this like six more times.
Right.
Something like that, yeah.
And y'all were talking about like Obamacare and Medicare and stuff like that. Since this is a disease that people just don't like treat?
See, the whole issue with this problem of this one, because they need an ICD code, and right now, it's in Senate for the Lymphedema Treatment Act.
Mm-hmm.
And until that act gets passed, it makes it very hard for people who's on Medicare and Medicaid to get the coverage. People who have regular insurance, they could kind of get certain things covered, but even then, it's a horrible fight. Mm. But if you're on Medicare and Medicaid, it's not getting covered at all.
Wow.
Until that ICD codes go through, and even then, it's still going to be an uphill battle. And at that point, you know, women is dying from this disease, you know, and it's scary because it causes really severe infections, like cellulitis infections.
Mm-hmm.
Which I used to catch horribly. And I'm talking about, I would have to take like 180 antibiotics in like 10 days.
God damn.
Yeah, and Karen, you know what antibiotics do to a woman's body.
It messes you up. It just throws everything off balance.
Yes. And you know how like you see in the cartoon where the cat beat himself be on fire, he be going across and going, That's how, yes, it gets real, real. When you gotta take all them antibiotics in such short periods of time, and it's like, and your body starts building up a resistance.
Right.
And you have to keep taking antibiotics too.
Mm.
And, you know, if your body don't take the antibiotics, then that means they gotta try to find another one that will work on you.
Yeah.
And, what you about to say?
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm allergic to penicillin, and it's always a struggle. Every time I go to the doctor, if I ever go to an emergency room, they always had to be like, oh, can't, you know, because if not, my whole face will swell up and stuff, but and I get sick and all this stuff. But yeah, you're right, like when you can't take just everything, or you build up a resistance, like it's only so many options they got. But yeah, you got to be careful, man, when you go up in there, because just hope they don't put the wrong thing in there and end up messed up.
That's the whole thing. And you know, my mother, she had caught an infection so bad, it made her body swell up and her lungs collapsed, and she fell into a coma in 2013.
Wow.
And it took an infection doctor to find the right antibiotic, because every antibiotic they were trying to give it wasn't working. So that's why it's so imperative to women know they had this disease and find out early, because, you know, you need to know those things, because if you get cut and catch an infection, infection in a lymphedema woman is really serious, because it's very hard to get rid of. And it can cause serious problems. You know, you can go into heart failure, especially if you catch an infection, you start swelling up. And her lungs collapsed, and she didn't have no functioning lungs. And luckily, it did come back, and she lived 2 years afterwards, almost. But it's hard. But she ended up with COPD after that because of how her lungs had got damaged.
What's COPD?
COPD. It's like
it's like hard asthma. You can't breathe. Your bronchial spasms are so all messed up. I can't give you the exact definition because I was waiting for Ratchet, but we talking serious.
I promise we're gonna get to Ratchet, but I'm so curious. I'm so curious at Katia's so informative. You know, it's like we don't always get these opportunities on the show.
And when you were talking about all these medications, I have a question. What happened if you are kind of in the middle where you don't qualify for Medicaid and Medicare, but you can't get, I know they got Obamacare, most people own it, but what happens when, like you say, you have insurance and it doesn't cover it? If you have to take 180 antibiotics in 10 days, I can guarantee you there are a lot of people that cannot get these medications in that period of time because something's denied, something's not covered. And I guarantee you, all of them ain't for free or for 99 cent. So what happened if you fall in that category? Did you just don't get your medication and die?
That's kind of what kind of happens. Unless you get admitted into the hospital, then they have to give it to you.
Mm. So but when you leave the hospital,
don't refuse to leave. Like, look, I'm sick. I can't move. You're going to have to do something, because unless you go to Walmart and get the generic brand of the antibiotics and pray it works, and for the $4 ones, that's the only other thing you could possibly do. Mm. Other than that, like you said, get sick, stay sick, and possibly pass away, because if you don't have the money and insurance won't cover some of your medicines and stuff, but they generally cover your antibiotics. Right. Now, I don't know. They keep changing these plans so many days. I don't know. They ain't even cover my eye drops for my eyes when I had my cornea transplant. So, yeah. My insurance said, nope, we don't cover that. And I had to pay out of pocket $275 for my drops.
What do they call it? Cosmetic? I don't understand. Is everything cosmetic or pre-existing disease?
Well, they're supposed to be all right with the pre-existing, but things that are considered cosmetic or anything that doesn't have certain codes so that they can pay people, they'd rather just continue on and ignore it, because the surgeries that she was discussing, they're done by plastic surgeons. They're basically liposuction, but it's a special type. It's not the one you see like on the Atlanta doctors where everybody come out with the same shape and the same nose. It's not that. Right. It's it's a little bit different. And again, there's only a handful of people that do this type of surgery. So in the medical community, it's considered cosmetic. There's nothing cosmetic about what's going on here. And then there's like, what, only three doctors, Katia? One in Germany, one here in New York, and one on the West Coast?
Wow.
There is, I want to say, maybe five or six top in the United States. And the head doctor in Germany, it's like maybe a couple in Germany, but it's like for it to be the whole world, it's like total top maybe 10.
Wow.
Maybe. That's a hard maybe.
and y'all are trying to spread awareness, and y'all are going to have a conference June the 12th at Rutgers University?
Yes.
And I'll make sure to have all the links and stuff in the show notes as well, but I'll put it in the chat right now so people can see it. But let me just put this in.
And
here.
I hope that, you know, people who have time, they come on out. You know, it's, we had such great response from sponsors because, again, I love Katia's hustle. She's gotten money from so many different places. And then for the fashion show part, she's got sponsors for that. We got clothing. And the people who are going to be walking in the fashion show are women with lipedema. So we're going to have a lipedema-friendly menu. We're going to have a fashion show. And because so many people so far have sponsored, we were able to reduce the ticket price, but we still need to, you know, fill the seats. We want people to come and get this information. And also, we still need to pay a few bills because putting on a conference is a very expensive endeavor. So we hope that people come in and get the information, enjoy the food and the show. And also, you know, if you don't want to come or you can't come or you're far away, there's also a label, a spot there to donate. Please donate. You know, we want to grow this out. We want to make this bigger because what I have found, because, you know, I do social justice and I'm real ratchet, you know, ask Cokie, she know. But anything that I see, and the great Dr. Carlos E. Russell, he had once said to me, you could talk about anything you want, but what does it mean to the African diaspora? Mm-hmm. And when you come across a situation like this, you know exactly what it means for a black person in America, and it's nothing good. Right. So if we don't get the word out, don't arm people with, at the minimum, information. But our goal is to raise the funds to be able to say, we can pay for 10 women to get wall surgeries this year. We can pay for 50 women to get their bandages that they're going to need after surgery, because these things are expensive. I mean, Katia then going broke trying to save her life. Right. So, you know, and when I met her, I was in a different life. And if on a different time over cocktails, I will tell you how I respect this woman's hustle, because she keeps people out of jail. You got a problem, that's somebody you want on your side is Katia Page, because Katia Page will leave no stone unturned. She everywhere and everything. That's why I know this is going to be a success, because she's making sure that not only people hear about it, but understand it and are armed with knowledge and can go on and help those in their circles if they think there might be an issue. Because I too had to learn, because I used to be a big person. I lost weight, and in my mind, because yes, the system has worked on me and I've believed a lot, so yeah, I'm going through reprogramming every other weekend,
right?
So yes, I too believe that you need to back away from the table, come on and take some walks with me, it'll be easy. No, it's not. And it's time, if I can do it, everybody, you know better, you got to do better,
right? Yeah, I definitely can relate to that, because it is the first thing. And then also, you know, there's always this moral part of it where people are just taught and is handed down generation after generation to look down on people. You know, like, not only should you not be looking down on somebody for whatever weight they are, period, like, on top of that, you just don't know what that person's body is going through. So you're making all these assumptions and passing all this judgment down on the people, and I think for the most part people don't realize how destructive it is, so they just continue to perpetuate it. But like you said, June, once you know better, it's your responsibility to do better. And I think as a fat person, people don't like even understand the pressure you put on yourself. Like, it's not right. like I don't need an outside source giving me shit for my body. Like, that's you know, like, it's already enough that you deal with internally. And then for the outside to try to come in and like compound that, nah, it's not cool. So, but yeah, man, make sure you guys go. It's Curves Meets Courage.
Yes.
Lipedema Awareness Conference. Like I said, it's Rutgers, June 12th, noon till 6 p.m. Tickets are still out there. I just put the link in our Facebook group. I know that's a very supportive big group. So, hopefully some people can, make some time to attend.
And
if not, you can make some time to donate and help out, you know?
Yeah. That's what we're asking.
Donation is always
worth. Yeah. Because
my favorite nation. Like, I like the United States. I like the U.S. But donation is the best nation. I'm sorry.
It really is. And for those of you that know you can't come or the distance, please do support, because it means a lot. And I know I see some few people in the chat talking about they've had family members suffer with this, and or family members pass away from this. And I know, listening, we've had other people who may not know you know, we may not know who have suffered for this or have the same symptoms, reach out, inform them, let them know, because this is about the each one teach one type thing, and that thing is real.
All right.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The village is real too, and I need people to stop trying to murder the village.
Right. Yeah. Let the village grow. It takes all of us to raise these kids. Right.
We ain't trying to kill nobody.
No. Hey, listen. If you listen to the village, babies wouldn't be in the pits with gorillas. That's all I'm gonna say.
We trying to save y'all babies. Don't want you to have to go down there and shoot the fair one with the gorillas, man. Oh, no. Trying to help y'all prevent it. Of course, this is the Blackout Tips, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. Let us know if you like the show, and we'll read them on the show when we do our feedback show. The official weapon is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 530 that Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in jail, $2 million bail. Go read the GQ piece, man. I know people think that it's a joke, but they can incarcerate your black ass with very little evidence and no trial, and you can't even get out and work to feed your family or nothing. So y'all need to check it out, because if y'all ever thought it was a joke that what we were saying, go read that and be like, so you can put somebody in jail for a RICO case, but you don't got any weapons, you don't got any drugs, you can just say it like you was rapping about it. Like, that, something about that don't seem right. That's all I'm saying. What'd you say, Katia?
I said, that sounds real fishy to me.
Mm-hmm. The boy about to be in jail for two years. I mean, you gotta present more evidence than just, they was talking about it on the phone. I'm sorry. Anyway, this podcast is also sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. The new Blackout Tips audio play is also on Amazon. For those of you who have iTunes, listen to Rod and Karen Get Kidnapped, Help Guys with Crazy Girlfriends, and Endure the End of the World and Other Ratchetness. Go to Amazon.com and make sure you guys search for Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. And also, I'll have the link in the show notes specifically for the Amazon page if you guys want to watch it, want to help us out through there. But make sure you guys help us out, man. Leave us reviews and stuff like that if you get it. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into some news, guys. We got all kinds of news going on. Let's see, what do we want to talk about first? Oh, Johnny Depp. Yeah. So this is what I found interesting. We talked about this yesterday. Johnny Depp has been accused of hitting his wife, who's now filed for divorce, so probably soon to be ex-wife, who knows, Amber Heard, who was a very rich, attractive white woman in Hollywood, okay? Mm-hmm. A working actress, everybody knows her, world renowned for, oh man, that is one beautiful white woman, okay? Within the last 24 hours after these accusations have come out, everybody and they mama has jumped in front of the bullet for Johnny Depp. And to me, the message is, if we won't even believe a rich, attractive,
come on, dog,
beautiful white woman that is an actress,
don't none of us stand a chance.
Ain't nobody gonna believe ain't nobody about to believe anybody else out here, because she in the top 1% of protected people on this planet when it comes to people jumping in front of the bullets for her. But
her tears are valuable,
right? White tears, you know. You can put those, you can sell them, bag those things, bottle them.
They wash away a lot of shit, but they ain't washing away this.
But Johnny Depp is so many people are just like kind of complicit in basically a character assassination on this woman.
Right.
The first thing was, and I'm not reading the whole articles, but I just noticed the news cycle and what was coming out. I haven't seen any articles about Johnny Depp, right? What I have seen, the articles about Amber Heard, one of them was like, you know, they had paparazzi following her around, and she went and met with her lawyers, you know, obviously about these legal issues with the divorce and with, you know, being physically assaulted and whatnot. So they took pictures of her with her friends smiling after this meeting, and the implication is like, look at her smiling, you know, like
wait, that's against the law.
She got him. Obviously she's up to something. What would she be smiling her best friend about? afterwards. So
she must. Was she in the ghetto where nobody's smiling?
Yeah. Yeah. So they had pictures of her, you know, and it's like the same two pictures, but they just kept putting them all throughout the article. It's like, who knows what joke or something, you know. A lot of times in these tense situations, you know, gallows humor is all you got, or just, you know, you happy to see people still, you know, care about you and whatever. And boom, they get a picture of her smiling, front page news. Like, all right. Meanwhile, nobody's seen Johnny Depp. We don't know where he's at. She also had it revealed that she basically was married to her former love, Taja Van Rie, who is a woman. So there's this like, look at her, the unstable bisexual woman. They all crazy, you know. This she obviously trying to set this man up, but they just dropped this out there, like, because at the time gay marriage was not legal in what she was at. So they just did as much as they could to legally, which is, you know, common for a lot of couples. Mm-hmm. Before, you know, I was gonna say before, but probably after too, because some of these states is tripping,
right?
But before marriage equality passed, a lot of couples would have to like get legally binding documents, like, okay, I'm gonna put you in my will, I'm gonna make sure that you can get shared custody with my children, I'm gonna make sure that you know, put you on my family list. Some people even adopt each other, so it's like, if I go to the hospital, you can still come see me when I'm sick without, right, you know, my mom or somebody getting involved. So they're putting this information out here, like, look at this, guys, she was married to somebody else before Johnny Depp, and it was a woman. So obviously he didn't hit her. We all know this. And then the last thing, and this one was really the most disheartening one to me, but there's a comedian, Doug Stanhope, and he got to basically write a guest column for a website called The Wrap, which covers, like, you know, Hollywood stuff, you know. And it was so weird because it's called, the title is Johnny Depp is Being Blackmailed by Amber Heard. Here's how I know.
And, how does he know?
Well, he knows because he don't like Amber Heard.
He's one of them think pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep in mind, they didn't have any evidence. It was just like, to summarize, they were hanging out with Doug Stanhope and his wife, girlfriend, lover. They hang out in a circle with Johnny Depp, and they were like, we knew that this was an awful relationship and she was just such a bad person, but we never said anything. We would watch her manipulate him and we wouldn't say anything, but now that this has happened, we got to come out and say something. She's obviously blackmailing him, and this is all a setup, and it's not possible that he would have put his hands on her. Now, he's not saying I was there, he's not saying I have the ransom note, you know, like, he doesn't have evidence. It's just he don't like her, and obviously that means she must have set it up.
Is that kind of like the same thought process where, oh, well, your skirt is short, so you're a whore?
You know what? I feel like it's a lot like, hey, man, I wasn't in the room when Bill Cosby did that stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sorry. He did it. And it ain't about nobody else. It's about Bill and his behavior in that one little obscure interview he did with that little Canadian. Find it. Google it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his behavior tell it all.
It's just so weird because, you know, I remember, there's a couple people I saw, like, kind of being like, well, none of us is there, how do we know? And I'm like, you know what? We're not a court of law, it's just court of public opinion, right? So, mm-hmm. If it was a trial, I understand, but, this ain't a trial. But one thing I would notice is, like, I don't remember that discussion coming from, especially black men, when it came down to, like, Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman.
Nope.
Like, none of us was there. But I wasn't taking his word for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now let's talk about the propensity to violence in relationships. That's a thing that mostly men put on women, on their partners, right? Mostly men are the ones who are violent. So if you were just looking at statistically, what is the most likely thing to happen in a relationship? that's what we're looking at here. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm like, if we're just, we're not a court of law. There's no evidence before us, but just the general idea of a woman who went through all the steps of respectability that people claim they want to see from women victims, right?
Oh, no.
Which they always try to use it to discredit women, which is funny. She went through all the steps, quote unquote, perfectly, and she's still being disbelieved. She reported it to the police. Mm-hmm. She had multiple witnesses.
Right.
She took pictures, photographic evidence at the time. She left him, right? Filed for divorce and got a restraining order. And yet you still have people saying it must be an elaborate setup, because it's impossible that this man would have ever put his hands on this woman because we like his movies.
Are they really that good to go through all that though? Really? is the little pirate situation really that hot for you to like put on the cape like this? Is it really that good? Is the ride at Disney that hot? You know, I don't. Just tell me, because again, a court of law definitely has different hurdles that you have to go over. But if we just talking, I feel like he was mad about that dog situation and lost his mind. And she's like, I'm done with you. I refuse to take this anymore. I'm out.
Yeah, that's
what I feel like happened.
That Alice in Wonderland ain't make that much money for y'all to be pulling out these capes this weekend. I mean, I feel like. If the capes was gonna be flying for him, then that movie should have at least did like 70 mil. Cause, I don't see how y'all up in fighting arms, over this. You know, not to mention.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. If they're caping, they should go and support the movie so he can give her money. So she can go on with her life. Y'all go and support the movie so that he can make some money, since he got, like, this is her, you know, her plan. Her plan.
And whose career, especially a woman of this stature, like, this is, a somebody, right? Like, she's on that list of people that we consider like, oh, she's an up-and-coming Hollywood actress. Like, she'll be around for a while. Like, she can still go out and get big parts or whatever, right? This is not gonna help her career. Like, this isn't how you make it. You know, nobody goes, man, Sigourney Weaver really wasn't doing too good, but then she accused that dude of domestic violence, and it's been, ever since, she just been doing great. Like, that's not how things work for, you know, women with employment.
No, not at all. No, that not at all. That is not how that happens at all. And really, we got to start like, okay, I know the first feeling is, oh, man, that bitch lying, because, you know, they lie. But then, like, stop for a moment, breathe, and fight that feeling, because believe it or not, 9 times out of 10, you're wrong.
Right.
Yes, people lie. But again, 9 times out of 10, you're wrong if that's your first thought. But before you act on it, before you let it come up and come out, breathe. Count to 10, pray to Jesus, and then open your mouth. Because hopefully at that point you ain't going to say nothing dumb like that. Because, again, yes, none of us know, none of us was there. But he's awfully quiet. And I'm sorry, if somebody was saying that June did X, Y, B, and Z, if I'm going to have to pay anyway, then no, I'm going to tell it.
Yeah. Well, what's wild to me is I don't understand this need to defend somebody when you weren't there. Like, it's one thing to be like, look, they've never been this way towards me. That's a statement I can understand, you know, because that's all you know of that person. But to be like, well, this person's incapable of this because we kicked it a few times and we did drugs together, I don't understand how you make that leap, you know. And enough to be like jumping out in front of it. Like, he didn't post this on his website, he didn't say this on his podcast, which he has. He went and found a place where he could get this out and signal boost it on therap.com so that he can point everybody to it. And I've really been disappointed to see like comedians and stuff sharing this, because that is like a community, that comedy community. And Stanhope is a respected comedian, whether he may or may not be the biggest name or whatever. He's a comedian's comedian. A lot of people really look up to him. And I think they feel a defensive response. Like, I need to, like, protect him, protect his word, and say, well, if he said it, then I can believe it. And that's bullshit. He wasn't there. He doesn't know. He doesn't have any proof. He just knows he doesn't like this woman and whatever Johnny Depp told him. That's it. One of the things that people that are abusive do is they lie to people and try to blame the victim and make it their fault, where they can tell you a sympathetic story where it's not my fault, you know, where, hey, this person is a piece of shit, that she's terrible to me, and that justifies all the things I do to her. So I really think people need to fall back on it, because I don't think the idea here is to just be like, well, Johnny Depp did it and that's the end of it. Like, I don't think, at least for me, it's not about rushing to judgment. It's just about the idea that there's a likelihood that something happened here, and this woman followed every single step that people say you're supposed to follow, and you still won't believe her. You won't even consider it. Something is wrong with society, and something's wrong with people for doing that.
I don't even know why we're talking about any of this, because that's their business, and they should be allowed to go ahead on and sort this out. And if she wanted to be the voice of all of this, then that's what she would have done once she settled her affairs.
True.
See, my story is about as plausible as that comedian dude. Right. My story is just as, because neither one of us was there.
And you know what's funny?
Funny?
You want to know what's funny? She didn't even put this on, like, Instagram or, like you can't even say it's that. Like, because you know what a lot of people do is, like, oh, she put this picture, she got hit, and she put the picture on Instagram. She just wanted attention. This stuff got leaked. We're not supposed to know about any of this. This wasn't her.
That's my point.
She didn't do a press conference. She hasn't done an interview. She hasn't even said a word, and yet you still have people dragging her name through the street. Nobody brought up that Johnny Depp's been arrested twice, right? Once for trashing the hotel room, possibly under the influence of drugs. Nobody brought up that he's assaulted somebody before, for taking pictures of him when he was out with his girl. Nobody brings that stuff up because it just doesn't count when you like the person.
Right.
But it don't work into the narrative. And come on, y'all, the man got up at peak point in his career and packed up and went to Europe and act like, bye, U.S., bye, y'all suck, bye. Why is he over there? If he all whatever, wouldn't he live here with the rest of us? Come on.
Right.
Leave him alone.
I don't, it's so weird.
Alone. There's too many questions.
People were it was like just a year or two ago, he gave a speech at a award show, and it was like, look how high and drunk he is, and everybody was laughing at, like, oh, the drunk old man, you know, like, look at how high, oh, he's always wasted. But at the same time, you know, we know that there can be serious side effects to drug use where it's like out of control like that. Like, I can't even show up to my award ceremony where we're honoring people, because he wasn't even getting an award, he was honoring somebody, and we were like, yo, he can't even, like, stumble through this speech. And that, but, like, while it's cute to us, we ain't gotta live with him. Mm-mm. So I don't know what happens in his house. That's all. All right.
His house ain't here.
Other things that happen.
Right.
Speaking of beef. Did y'all know? I hope you're sitting down. Gonna take it back. Gonna take it way back. Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim still got beef.
Why?
Because Puffy's back on tour.
I was in high school, really? And I'm 36 now. Griff, get over it. Come on. No. Really?
Yes.
What the hell they beefing over? We had more plastic surgery? Come on.
I like to continue. Fed up. She was fed up. Yeah, a couple months back, the Queen Bee blasted the shady DC promoting a fake concert that was supposed to include Foxy Brown and other female MCs. Kim claimed the event was so fake that she said she would never do a show like that.
She need that money. She needs to stop.
Yeah, it was like,
she knows she done spent all her money getting that face, so she knows she needs that money.
The promoter said it was Brown and Remy Ma to co-headline all female rap weekend events during DC Pride 2016, and for some reason they threw Lil Kim up in there, even though she wasn't scheduled to do that event. And Lil Kim went on Twitter and said, for those who are asking, still, this is so fake. Someone made this up. I would definitely not be doing this. And then Foxy found out.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Foxy said? What Miss Inga say?
Let's see. She said, where's her comments? It said, she posted a message, ain't right at Kim. Wait, why didn't they link the message?
Between the clickbait and not making a good, complete the stories, people, because I'm nosy.
Yeah, they they showed, she says, oh wait, this is Lil' Kim's Instagram. Way to go, Bossa. Way to let me down. Just, what is this going on here?
Have everything embedded in the storyline.
Yeah. Let's see. She put, DC Pride tonight, baby, and my twin bitch icon, Senia Braxton, BKA, MF, Senia Fox, at Senia Shotgun, on our own, Bungie Cunt. I don't know what this means.
How do people making up these hashtags? What's happening?
How did they even understand what the hell was they got beat on that?
Oh, and it's her.
I need
dancing.
A dictionary for that. Wait.
Right.
It looks like the Instagram's just her.
That's what they have,
yeah. It's just her dancing. I don't. How's that a beef?
Somebody yelling dance, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand. What's the beef in that? Like right, dancing. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe.
Everything a beef nowadays. You eat a beef sandwich is a beef. It's like, goddamn, I'm eating a beef sandwich. What's the problem?
That's how they get relevant. You gotta beef for somebody to be relevant, I guess. I
yeah. Yeah, you're too peaceful. You'll fade into obscurity.
Well.
Yeah, y'all always got beefs. I don't even understand. I thought this was the Peace and Love show. Y'all like the Brooklyn way, but y'all be beefing in these streets.
Man, I don't want no problems.
I be sitting here just because I'm old, so I just watch the timeline and move too fast. It's too fast. I can't jump in all the time. And I be like, holy moly, it's beef.
Baby, I'm old too.
Every day I wake up, I don't want no problems. Mm-mm. I want the same. I had the same wish every morning. Let's just go to bed with no problems. All right, let's see what else happened here. Oh, speaking of instant karma, a preacher carrying a sign that said he's a street preacher. He shouts anti-gay messages all the time. He got hit over the head by a student who was outraged by his offensive speech.
They had enough.
Mm-hmm. The preacher's name is Brother Dean Saxton, and he makes it a habit to stand outside of local high schools and loudly condemn students and members of the LGBT community.
How is he allowed to do that on the school? Is it like, I hope it's not on their property.
I mean, maybe right outside the property. I don't know.
They gotta be.
Parents don't complain. Where's school safety? What?
He often holds a sign that says, "You deserve to be raped."
Yeah. Oh, where's the love in that?
That's hard.
Well, you know.
My child's school, he might go to court and beat down for that. You can't be talking about people's babies. Oh.
Well, you know what they say, Katari, mysterious ways, you know, and this is very, very mysterious.
Mm-hmm, just like that baseball bat mysteriously popped him upside his face. He didn't see that coming.
Yeah, apparently when he embarked on one of his unsolicited missions at Apollo High School, Tabitha Brubaker, 19, responded to what she called hate speech by striking him over the head with a baseball bat. She was charged with felony assault, and also marijuana possession.
Yo, take the weed out your pocket before you bop somebody with a bat. Take whatever, take it out your pocket, because when they come to talk to you, they're going to search your pocket. Now you got two charges. True. Take whatever out your pocket, grease your face, that's what the greasing and the Vaseline was about back in the day. Take the stuff out your pockets, people.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Katana?
Katia,
I'm sorry.
Did we lose Katia? Oh, we lost Katia. Hold on. Let me add her back.
Holy.
I need to.
Because I was like, she was going to say something. Then she just went silent.
Oh, yeah. She must have got disconnected. Let me see if I can call her back.
Oh, no. She's hysterical.
Yeah.
She's absolutely hysterical. Y'all know me. Oh, my God. She's hysterical.
All right. Maybe her, hope her laptop didn't lose power or something.
Oh, no.
Or internet that went out. Well, we'll keep going, but I'm gonna keep trying to call her back in the background till we can get her back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She hit him upside the head, and police arrested her. Saxton posted a video of the incident on YouTube in which he can be seen yelling his message outside the school. The Bible says it's not okay to be gay, he yells. You need to stop doing not nasty things, Apollo High School. You need to stop looking up nasty, nasty things on the internet. Now, you know he done looked up them nasty things.
Right, because how you know what it is?
How you know, buddy? Like, he well-versed in that. Yeah, I'm trying to call her back. Oh, she tried calling me. Hold on. Let me.
added to the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, she was talking and she just went away. I was like, uh-oh, something wrong.
Yeah, it be doing that sometimes. He is approached periodically by students and a teacher repudiating him. Saxon accused the teacher of trying to influence the students, who he called evil, of course, because it's a class act.
Where are these parents? This man is just standing across. I really wish that something that had fell out my damn crotch, you gonna yell and talk to them like that. I'll beat you to... Thank God for the lady with the bat. I'm sorry. Continue. That just... I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know what? This is like, I don't promote violence, but I'll allow it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those moments where you like, yeah, I hate... I mean, because obviously she might catch a charge. Who knows? With a petty fool like this, he'll probably go to court and try to get her to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and you never want to put yourself in the hands of the laws if you can avoid it. But damn, I understand. Sometimes you just got to hit somebody in the head with a bat. Like sometimes it just got to happen. Yes. Katia, you back?
Please, civil rights attorneys that are just getting out of law school, look this lady up, take her case, make your bones, get her out of jail, free the lady with the bat, free her.
Well,
free her.
She just,
come on now.
Can we start?
She just did what we was all thinking.
We gotta start a Kickstarter or something, a GoFundMe.
Something.
We gotta, cause this, I mean, it sounds like this dude just goes out and trolls kids every day anyway,
mm-hmm.
Hoping that some shit will pop off in the first place.
Right, a lot of times they're looking for this.
So, all right. Let's see what else we got here.
Meanwhile, the children get to fall into gorilla pits, but y'all let this reckless man stand and say things to them. I don't understand. Y'all better start doing a better job taking care of your little precious children, letting this mess go on.
Speaking of which, the parents of the 4-year-old who caused Harambee the gorilla to get killed could be charged as neglectful family investigated after the little boy climbed in the zoo enclosure, causing staff to shoot the silverback dead. Police.
Listen, I know people got a case just because they kid crossed the street by themselves. So yes, lady, get an ACS case.
Yeah. Hold on. I see Katia, but I can't hear Katia. Her. I don't know what's going on.
Come back to you.
I guess the IT person might have left.
I know. Right. I just got a close up of Katia's face on the screen. Let me call her back again. See if we can get her to connect.
I know how it is. Roger, my IT, so I feel them.
Right, I know.
You'll be lost. You'll be like, what the fuck? Beep, beep. Didn't mean to do that.
And they change it. They change the Skype every 2 days anyway.
Well, Roger, you got a fucking new update.
It don't even look the same when you log in. The police have said the parents of a 4-year-old who climbed into the gorilla enclosure could face criminal charges after the staff were forced to kill the beloved animal. Harambee, the 400-pound gorilla, was shot dead by Cincinnati Zoo officials just one day after his 17th birthday when the boy climbed through the barriers and fell into the enclosure. The incident, which was captured on a cell phone, has sparked the outcry of emotion, with thousands of mourners branding it as a senseless death. Many are placing blame squarely on the parents of the boy. They are yet to be charged, but police said prosecutors could choose to indict them. Michelle Gregg, the mother of the boy, posted a message on Facebook saying, "I want to thank everyone for their thoughts and prayers today. What started off as a wonderful day turned into a scary one. For those of you that have seen the news or been on social media, that was my son that fell in the gorilla exhibit at the zoo. God protected my child until the authorities were able to get him. My son is safe and was able to walk away with a concussion and a few scrapes, no broken bones or internal injuries. As a society, we are quick to judge how a parent can take their eyes off of their child. And if anyone knows me, I keep a tight watch on my kids. Accidents happen, but I'm thankful that the right people were in the right place today." The family released a statement on Sunday saying that they had taken their boy home. Yo, it's so wild, right? Because they went to the zoo and then by Sunday they have to release a statement. I gotta do a press release now.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
All we wanted to do is have a good day at the zoo, and I don't have any children, but a lot of the anger towards the parents is ridiculous. I'm just gonna flat say that. And a lot of people who have children completely understand children can be in your sight and shit happen to them. Like, it's one of those things where if you cannot watch and monitor a child all the time, you know, accidents happen. And it's one of the things where, it's like, we got to blame somebody for the animal getting shot. So let's blame the parents. And it's a lot of shit that happened to a lot of parents. But you know what? With no police officers there, with no cameras there, did nobody, your child didn't go put a report on you, because a lot of people listening to the show right now would be fucking locked up and you would be going through the same criticism that these parents are going through now, because people would consider you not a good parent. Well, you know, you love your children and you know, you care for your children, but sometimes shit just happens. I'm not trying to say they're completely 100% blameless, but a lot of people are just completely unnecessarily attacking the parents from a place of judgment when, you know, you talk to a lot of parents and now, you know, you hear stories all the time about parents doing shit and leaving the child at the house, getting halfway down the street, like, oh shit, we got to go back, you know, shit like that, because people are human.
Parents be having nightmare stories, dog. That's why I don't want to be one.
Right, about all types of shit, because you're tired, you're exhausted, you're going through a lot of things, especially if you have multiple children. So it's just one of those things. But I do understand people talking and discussing about parenting, but some of the attacks, they're just unwanted. It's just a way to shame them in their parenting.
My thing with it is, that's just the way the system goes. Your kid fell in a gorilla pit, you get an investigation. Believe me, I live around too many mothers. They love their mothers. They love their children. They do everything for them. And dumb things. And they got an ACS case and this, that, and the third. They kids don't get to come home after something like that. They kids would have been in there. Let that happen up at the Bronx Zoo. And when somebody's kid get into the gorilla, that kid is going to the ACS and that parent is going to the pokey. So I just say, at least open an investigation. To me, that's right. Fair. Yes, things that's happen. Fair. People are human or whatever, but the rules are the rules, and what should happen is what should happen, and there should at least be an investigation. And if they love their children, it will be found out, but all parents will go through, at least here in the city, you'll go through that kind of annoyance.
Right.
Trying to do the right thing.
I mean, and I hope. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead, June. I'm sorry.
No, it's just a rock and a hard place here. Maybe she live in a kind of place where that's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that there isn't some level of neglect or anything going on.
If it is.
You know, you really have to hope that it's really a precocious four-year-old and the zoo ain't think about this. You know, like,
right, because
they just didn't plan that, oh, a four-year-old could climb through this little hole or whatever. You have to hope that that's all it is. Because, I mean, obviously, what's going on with a lot of people is that they're upset that this animal lost its life.
Right.
And now somebody gotta pay.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like Cecil the Lion,
mm-hmm.
where motherfuckers like, shut your dentistry down, you killed a lion. Like,
right.
It kind of feels like that to me, and not to make it just a racial thing, but part of me is like, but when a nigga gets shot in the street, y'all don't care this much.
Right. You don't get this type of outrage. You don't get this type of anger. And the truth be told, while they're in the process of investigating the parents, truth be told, if these parents are right, you would turn around and sue the fucking zoo. How did my child fall down there? Why wasn't there any barriers or anything up to prevent or protect my child from falling in this goddamn gorilla pit? If truth be told, if we really gonna talk about the blame game here, all jokes aside, like, oh, if I'm gonna get fried, y'all gonna get fucking fried too. How did my child end up down there?
I'm all for that. Hell, go get you an attorney, go line it all up, and then sue yes. But unfortunately, what we're discussing is how this system works.
Right.
That's exactly what this is. Regardless, I feel as don't mean a damn thing in any of this. That's just what this is. Now, the system is going to work a little bit different for you if you don't look like me.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, they
so
better
operate a little bit differently. You might need to come with a different skill set.
Yeah, they better be careful though, because like Karen said, it's a lawsuit going both ways on this one.
Come on now, because when I see
that, shouldn't even be possible for a 4-year-old to get in there.
Right,
like,
right.
Somebody gonna lose a job. Somebody gonna lose some money or something. Because this is a lot.
That was my whole thing when I seen this from the very beginning, and that's why when people was talking about why the parents jumped down there, I shouldn't have to fucking jump down there and fight a goddamn gorilla for my child. When I go to the zoo, I do not expect my child to end up in a fucking gorilla pit. Why wasn't my child protected?
Now I will see, I do want to see what happens though, because, if they do got some type of history of neglect or something, they gonna be
in trouble.
They gonna have their whole family out there. They about to have their pictures out here. Mm-hmm.
And if that fence ain't fortified, that zoo is getting sued. Mm-hmm. Sued.
Now, luckily, these are some white people, so they probably gonna be okay. All right, so everybody calm down. The news won't really be,
it'll be all right,
investigating too hard, I'm sure. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But you know, if I'm the zoo, I probably just want all this to go away,
right? That's what it is. And that's why they go, well, we don't know. It's one of those things where I think that the zoo is kind of in a precarious place, because they know if they go hard at this parent, all that's gonna do is throw a lawsuit their way. I mean, that I might sue you anyway just because of what I've had to deal with social media.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, I heard Katia. I heard her. Hey, she back. Oh, you did it. Y'all don't understand, the struggle behind the scenes was so real for these intense last 10 minutes.
We glad we got you back, baby.
I was trying to get Katia back. I was trying to get Katia back like Matt Damon in that Mars movie. I believe in you. She
we
did.
We gonna get you back in here.
And you back just in time for the games, man. It's time to play our games. Because the first game that we call is a little something that we like to call, that we play is a little something we like to call Fucking with Black People. Mm-hmm. Let's sing the song, Ken. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game where we go all around the globe and we find articles and we rate them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. That's right. Let's see who's fucking with us today. Oh, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg told his fans on Instagram that they need to boycott tonight's premiere of Roots on the History Channel.
What? I know we're recording that, right?
I'm recording it. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, I'm recording it. I like watching stuff about slavery and our history in this country. I know some people are burned out, but I want to know these stories, man.
Yeah, you've changed my mind a lot on how I view this type of stuff. Because I ain't gonna lie, I was one of them people that was like, fuck that shit. No, it's sad. It's depressing. Like, not trying to be funny. It was like, and something about up, you get tired of slavery movies where it ain't about the slaves. It's about the white folks and how good the white folks was to the slaves. And oh, we just ought to thank just Jesus that the white man came and set us free, when the real stories are about the black people and how they struggled and how they survived and how they made it through these horrendous situations. And we got to watch the last episode of Underground. But that's one reason why I like Underground, because it's like a drama about the slaves. And that's what I'm about that. I'm not about the other shit where you're presenting it in a way that make most black people go, well, this is some bullshit, I don't want to watch this.
Well, in this case, Snoop Dogg said he ain't having none of the Roots. He don't want to watch Roots. He don't want to watch Black Dog. He don't want to watch Questlove. he's not watching Roots. Nothing to do with Roots. Oh wait, what is this? Be quiet. Stop. Article. All right, there we go. I'm sick of this shit, he says on Instagram. How the fuck are they gonna put Roots on Memorial Day?
This the wrong day for Roots. When's the right one then?
How is that the beef though? I thought it was about to be some serious introspective, like, Snoop said, nah, now Memorial Day.
Pick tomorrow.
He said, they just going to keep beating that shit into our heads. And how they did us, huh? He then went on to urge creators to make more TV shows and movies that show us what it's like to be a black person in 2016 rather than 1816. He also said it was important to make movies that don't just show black people's struggles, but also their successes too. I mean, we got Empire and Blackish. Calm down, dog.
Hold it.
Everybody know Empire is a real documentary on the success of Lucius Lyon.
They just changed the names to protect the innocent, because you know that's like really like Puffy's real story, because that's it.
That's all I'm saying. He says, I ain't watching that shit. Fuck them television shows. Let's create our own shit based on today. how we live and how we inspire people today. Black is what's real. Fuck that old shit.
Damn. All the old shit. Fuck it.
Snoop was fed up, man.
He has had enough of they foolishness.
Well, Karen, from 0 to 100 intervals of 25, how fucked with do you feel about Snoop Dogg and his boycott of Roots?
0, because it's Snoop Dogg.
All right. What about you, June? How do you feel?
You know, I feel like he's trolling me personally, because he could have said, oh, I'm traumatized because I saw it as a kid and I can't do it. No, he's going to say some dumb shit like that. He trolled us all, and he's 100. 100. He's 100. 100% with the damn trolling, and he should stop. Go get that endo, son.
What about you? What about you, Katia?
Look, all I can say is, Dr.
Jill
said he
needs
to go roll one.
You wanted to get ratchet, didn't you? And then you remembered you a business owner and you just said, let me leave that. So, I got you. I heard it.
Well, so what would you give him? A 0, 25, 50, 75, or 100, Katia?
What? What's 100?
100 is the most. 100 is the most you could be fucked with. Like this has disturbed me. The story is messed up. You know, a 0 is the least. Like, if it didn't bother you at all, then 0.
It didn't really bother me at all. It kind of just made me laugh a little bit.
Okay. That sounds like a 0. Sound like a 0. All right. Well, I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it a 50 for myself. Cause I'm in between. Like, I don't, like, in a way, it is just Snoop, and he probably was rolled up, and he probably was just like, you know, having deep thoughts like, man, this shit on Memorial Day. Nah, man, I can't deal with this shizzle. And just started
tweeting,
started talking on Instagram. So I can't take him but so serious. But I am fucked with a little bit, because the reasoning that a lot of black people opt out of learning about our history is that it does have a lot of pain and struggle and overcoming in it. And I do like for us to be inspired by the stories, especially when they're from black people. Like,
right,
I understand when it's like, I don't know, Brad Pitt presents, you know, I understand skipping it. I saw,
no, see, that's what I don't like. That now,
right,
this is what I'm gonna pick up. Now, right, if it's somebody, another black person telling our story to the truth,
right,
then that's good, because only another black person knows another black person's struggle, because you live a day in the life of that struggle.
Right.
So, in that sense, yeah. Brad Pitt tells about the struggle because he never had to have that type of struggle.
Right. Right. I agree. Yeah. Like I said, I'm kind of sick of that type of story. Right. Like, man, I saw something the other day. Oh.
Wait, what's his name? The bongo playing white guy who's like starting a free nation with all the slaves. The commercial, I saw it on TV. I was so offended. I'm so sorry.
No. you took the words out of my damn mouth. I saw Matthew McConaughey talking about he a Confederate soldier that brought the South together. I said, nigga, if you don't, what? No, I'm not seeing, you know, if I see that, I will live tweet it so the whole world can know what that movie is about. And don't
go
see it.
It's a major motion picture. You gotta pay money to go see it. It ain't even free on your TV, boo.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Mm-mm. I see you, Matt. I know what you doing. Anyway, 50 for me for Snoop. Cause, you know, he be high. We can't get too mad at Snoop, man.
God bless him.
Right.
And before we move on, the thing about stories that are told from an African-American perspective, I look at the shit they go through and just that whole era of slavery, and I be like, God damn it, no matter what I'm going through, I can make it. Whatever the struggle is, I can make it. I can walk outside my house. Hopefully I don't die, but I can still walk outside my house without chains on myself. So I think I'm gonna be all right.
Yeah, I haven't thought of a way to really put this into a joke, but I'm so serious. Sometimes I be wanting to complain about stuff, and I really be thinking like, yo, our ancestors would be they'd be ashamed of some of my complaints in the first world, you know? Like some of the little stuff, I'm like, man, I hate when my DVR records around the horn twice.
I got it.
You know,
I got
like,
it.
they like, we had to be around the horn for ourselves. We had to be, wasn't no TV.
We was the horn.
Right. Man, I hate when the AC is on 70. Man, I was the AC. I used to be in there fanning white folks. You had to be blowing on each other and fanning white folks. Like, no, I don't get to complain about that shit.
You'd be like, this TV show has a terrible script. You was like, bitch, I was the TV. We was entertainment.
Right. I hate driving up to the YMCA. It's like 20 minutes. You got traffic. Dog, I was the car.
They just
tie something to me and make me walk all the way to the YMCA.
Right.
It took 7 days. Okay. You should calm the fuck down. So that, I be thinking that sometimes whenever it feels like life is getting out of hand, like, when June was bringing up the whole beef stuff, I be laughing to myself. Cause I'm like, man, if I try to explain to my daddy a hashtag beef.
Oh yeah. Mm-mm.
He'll laugh at me, man. I can't explain that to him. Yeah. I mean, my dad pretty forward thinking. Analytical, he's an IT person. If I sat down at the kitchen table and was like, all right, so this is what happened, right? So the hashtag, he gonna laugh at me, man. So
right? Cause talking to the end of him, like, what the, I just got your daddy into the 21st century of music. I got your mama on cause I was like, I'm gonna add you to my Spotify plan. And I talked to your daddy and you know how your daddy think everything will get a virus. So I was like, hey, I wanna let you know, so you can get off watching YouTube with Layla. I'm gonna go ahead and give you my Spotify account so you can listen to all this music and won't spend hours on your YouTube page. And he accepted and I was shocked. I was like, shit, I just got you to do this. So I know explaining the hashtag ain't happening.
My point is, like, I can't top, well, I had to drink out of colored water fountain, or
no.
I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't top, like,
I had to walk miles to school.
I was on the first bus to a white school. Like, I can't top that, man.
Dude.
So a lot of times I feel like, you know, when we do have issues, I just think back to, like, how our people traditionally have been superheroes to survive this country.
Yes, sir.
So I can't really, you know what I'm saying? I can never just be like, I'm not watching that because it's about slavery. I'm like, but that's my people's though. Like, yes, I want to see me be a hero. Yes, I want to see my people overcome. And also, I never want to forget what this country would do to you if you don't know.
Ain't that the truth? Lack of knowledge equals death. A lot of people need to get on top of that.
All right. We spent more time on that story than I was planning.
The wrong person become president, but that's, you know,
I be seeing people talking about, I don't care. Nigga, you better care. You got to care, dog. Like,
the plantation is a coming, people. You better get your life.
Come on. And I tell people.
Trump don't even talk like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney had codes. Like, Trump just be out here like, I don't even like Mexicans. Like, damn. You can just say that.
Right. And everything okay. You know, it is one of those things where, I mean, I know we need to move on, but my thing is this. Nigga, I live in the South, dog. I know I would be picking cotton if some of these people had their ways. So no.
Yeah, I can't be letting you. You can't be emboldening these folks, dog. So, all right, let's get to our second game then, because that turned out to be hot and heavy over some Snoop Dogg. I didn't see that coming.
Snoop Dogg got it lit, didn't he?
I thought we'd be laughing. All right, let's go to our other game, which is called Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, man. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, June and Katia, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along, and the chat room's racist. All right, let's get into these stories. Wanted by the feds. Canadian adventurers who trampled across fragile Yellowstone ecosystem and wakeboarded across the ancient Bonneville salt flats.
Mm-hmm. There ain't no black horse.
Katia calling it early. She don't need no more clues.
Nope.
All right. Well, I'll keep reading for the audience so that they can, you know, get their guesses and information. A group of young men from Canada have come under fire for allegedly wreaking havoc on natural landmarks in the U.S., including Yellowstone National Park and Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah. Now, I blame Drake for this, okay? He running rap, and the Canadians getting a little too damn bold, coming down here messing with our stuff. Okay, y'all keep that shit in the six. A restaurant.
You know, you know, if you said they was creating havoc in the mall in Compton somewhere, I said, okay then. That's not no black folks.
All right. Katia is doubling down. Arrest warrants were issued for Charles Riker Gamble, Alexei Androyovich Lyak, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Justice Cooper Price Brown. Damn, that sounds like a motherfucking like law firm or advertising. Sound like Mad Men is gonna be going up against them to get the Coca-Cola account. And Hamish McNabb Campbell Cross, after a fellow visitor at Yellowstone reported them veering off of a boardwalk and dipping their hands into the waters of Grand Prismatic Springs. The group, which creates videos under the name High on Life Sundays Fun Days with a Z, also posted now deleted photographs of themselves standing along the spring, which is known for its delicate ecosystem. The four men, they had to get up in that stream. The four men who have been called an embarrassment and a disgrace have since apologized and offered to donate $5,000 to the national park. Although it is unlikely. Wait, what'd you say, Katia?
Any black person is not going to offer to donate $5,000 because they stuck their hands in some damn water. I'm sorry. That's a $5,000 fine. It ain't no donation.
She said no. You ain't gonna fool her.
The Bureau of Land Management is also investigating the group after Facebook photos show three of them water skiing on the flooded Bonneville salt flats, which scientists say can cause permanent damage to the landscape. These motherfuckers are crazy. The criminal complaint accuses the four men of breaking the park's regulations and veering off of the boardwalk before stepping into the largest hot spring in the country. They stepped into the hot spring. When people walked on them, it actually makes the white footprints in the bacterial mat, Reed said. Not only does it damage the bacterial mat, but it also means that other people may be tempted to walk the same path. One visitor reported the incident to a park ranger, snitch, after he took a video and several photographs of the offense, while the men posted photographs of themselves standing along the edge of the spring. Yellowstone spokeswoman Charissa Reed said she thinks that there are more instances of park visitors getting in trouble because they are looking to get their video and pictures out on social media. Well, Katia's already on the record. Let's see if we can get June on the record. June.
Are we guessing the race of all the people involved?
They're all the same race. They're
all the same. Then if they're all, I was going to say that there might be one chip in the cookie dough, but nope, it's all standard vanilla, ain't got a bit of damn sense, would take a damn wild animal and put it in the boot of their car because they thought it was cold white.
Aww. Let's check the chat room and see what their racist guesses are. Living out loud, white. Killed Hodor in the process. Oh, some white walkers. Started from the bottom, but they white. wildin' white and whiter than Tyrion's privilege and white. The correct answer is, and everybody guessed the same thing, and everybody got it right, white.
Yay.
We'll put their pictures in the chat if you guys want to see them.
We don't need to see. We know what they look like.
Oh, I'll put it in the Skype for her.
They look like the, they're
a boy band.
On the Gap ad or something, right?
That do look like it's the Gap ad.
Come to American Eagle. This week we have 50% off on cargo shorts.
Banana Republican.
Banana Republican? That's actually better.
Oh, my bad. What is it called?
Banana Republic. But Banana Republican is a real good guess to race for white people.
I've always thought it was Banana Republican. Don't ask me why.
That's actually really good.
I've always thought that was the name of that goddamn store.
I love you, Karen.
Oh, my God.
I love you, too. Every time I pass and I was like, I ain't got no business in that bitch.
I might just start calling white people Banana Republicans. That's pretty good.
I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to 125th Street to the Banana Republican, and I'm going to piece of my mind, goddamn it.
Times Square, they have a guy up there that they call the Hug Guy. I don't know. I'm not from New York. I don't know anything about this. But apparently he got arrested because he punched a Canadian tourist because she didn't give him a tip. That's right. The hug guy in New York punches a Canadian tourist because she didn't give him a tip. Now, I will say this. These Canadians are getting a little too damn ridiculous because Drake. R. Kelly, the Raptors was beating the Cavs for a while. And then you had Drake putting out this album. He dissed Meek Mill, getting all these Grammys and stuff. The Canadians are out of pocket right now. They're coming down to this country and they're just running wild. And this is just the results of that. But you still can't be hitting these women, dog. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-mm. But come on, hug, man. Come on. He usually charges about $5 a hug. $5 for a hug?
I need to be charged. Should I get mine away for free?
The hugs in New York cost $5. Man, I can't never go up there. I'm sorry.
Y'all charge too much for everything. Coke, soda, food, though.
Well, the punch was apparently free.
Oh, that was free. That was free of charge.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he caught a charge for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
The 24-year-old dude who offers hugs for tips in Time City clocked a 22-year-old Canadian tourist when she refused to give him any cash.
Does he tell people up front, or he they hug him and he be like, that'll be $5.50 plus tax?
I take PayPal. Right.
I got a Square. Let me just get that card for you real quick. Here you go. Just
hug. Free hugs guy Jermaine Himmelstein socked a woman in the right eye following an 11 a.m. clash outside the T-Mobile store. On Broadway near West 45th. Mm-hmm. Okay. The young woman and a friend were walking through Times Square when Himmelstein approached holding a sign that said free hugs. Himmelstein embraced one of the women and took a photo, but began throwing a fist when they wouldn't fork over any loot. He punched his victim, identified police as Sophie Violine Devois, and ran off down 7th Avenue. Devois suffered a swollen and bloody black eye and was taken to St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital for treatment. Well, if this dude wants to get away with this crime, he's going to have to star in some more of those Disney films, because that's the only way I know you can just punch a woman in the face and nobody cares. Himmelstein disappeared in the Times Square, but he was located and arrested about 4 hours later, charged with robbery and assault. Robbery? Did he get some money? Well, I guess he tried to rob technically, because you like, give me $5, no punch. Technically that's attempted robbery.
Yes.
He was grabbed by a sharp-eyed NYPD recruit who was in uniform and armed with the Pope's perp's photograph. DeVos is sporting a patch on her right eye, didn't speak to reporters as she was escorted out of the Midtown South Station house. The hug thug began showing off his began showing off his love of embraces in 2013 when he began offering quick squeezes for $1 at Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village. On an average day, he makes up to $30 an hour.
Ooh,
that's 6 hugs an hour, man. That ain't bad. So yeah, apparently he's no stranger to the department, the police department. He's been arrested 16 times since 2012. He was busted for tossing a can of soda at a woman who refused to hug him.
You get mad when I refuse, because I'm like, I'm not paying you to hug me.
Right, you get mad when I hug you and don't pay you. You get mad when I don't want to hug. Damn, dog, how do I win?
You don't. Give me that money, son.
He was running them hugs. Yeah, it's
you
like
hug me. I pity the fool.
It's like that creepy uncle at Thanksgiving. Just what my hug? No.
Yeah. You see him.
Why am I laughing? This is horrible.
That's not how any of this is done.
Yeah, you just tell your girlfriend, no, don't stay away from that one.
Right. That's not how this is done. He was also accused of punching a woman in the face in Coney Island Boardwalk. So he punches nothing but women too.
Of course, because he ain't fighting a man.
Mm. He probably don't hug no dude.
Right.
This is his way of getting paid to sexually harass women.
Correct.
Yes.
At at their expense.
Right.
Girl, and when it don't work, what he do? Punch you. See, right. Here you go. Johnny Depp. See, we solved the problem. See, full circle. We done went full circle. I'm sorry.
This ain't nothing but street harassment with a sign. He getting paid. His arrest comes after city council members are pushing legislation that will put Times Square characters seeking tips, costume and otherwise in special zones. And they would also have to wear ID badges. So guess the race of, Jermaine Himmelstein, June?
Well, because it's hugs and he's charging $5 for them. And then when you don't hug him, he's going to punch you in the face and the police know him. Honey, that is black all day. Cause instead of going down there with the mixtape game, going, oh, I got a mixtape. Give me money for the mixtape or else I'm going to punch you in the face. He's just like, hug me. He's black. He's a coon. He's a coon. He's a
Katia, what race do you think Jermaine Himmelstein? African-American. All right, let's check.
That's because you're a president of an organization.
She's like, my name is on this paperwork, okay? So we going with African-American. The chat room says, all the Jermaines I know are black.
Yes.
Arrested 16 times, black. Donald Trump rally supporter.
Last name tripped him up though. That last name.
Himmelstein. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Donald Trump rally supporter. So that person's going white. If you're reading this, it's too late because I punched you. Black like Jake. Jigaboo says Frida. Signaled for a getaway cab and it stopped for him.
Oh,
that's one way to say white. He keeps getting off though when arrested. Also, JJ said he thinks it's white because they let him go. Well, the correct answer is, and June and Katia both got it. He's black.
Yes. Of course he's black.
SZA on Fleek. Yeah. Let me put his picture in the chat. Oh wait, I just realized I gotta get his picture from another source because
okay, some people got it wrong.
Oh yeah, some people got it wrong. Let me play the boos. I gotta boo y'all. I'm sorry. And now I'll put his picture up here too. Here's a picture of him smiling and hugging a nice Asian lady. Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna take a picture of him in the cuffs. You know, I'm gonna let y'all see his best foot forward. That's Jermaine right there, guys.
Before he smack a
heifer. Before he had to put his hands on somebody. Yeah. That's what he normally looked like.
And yeah. That poor lady, she looked like she being held hostage. There's no joy in her face. Look I know.
That's fear.
Right. And he charged $5.
She don't want to get punched in the face, poor baby.
That's fair, and maybe his arms was a little hot, and she was trying to put the face away from the stinky armpit, too.
Hey, that's the face you make when you ain't got the $5 right there. She like, I don't know what's going to happen when he let me go. I don't know. Well, it's tied up going into the bonus round. Let's play the bonus round music, Karen. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race for the bonus round to guess the race. So far, it is tied up 2-2. But will it change going into the bonus round where everything's worth double? Let's see if they get nervous. All right. Here we go. For all the marbles. A Santa and a woman who killed a man in a hit and run tried to evade arrest by dyeing her hair pink, wearing color contact lenses, and getting a temporary face tattoo.
Oh.
She's black.
A California woman wanted for allegedly killing a music teacher in a hit and run accident is believed to have tried to dramatically change her appearance in order to evade police.
Mm-mm-mm. The face tattoo, dyed her hair, and put
it
in color contact.
Mm-hmm.
She's black.
Katara got she's convinced. Her name is Tracy Clapp with two P's. 36, of Santa Ana, California. Allegedly, she hit Chris Chavez, who was 26, who had the right of way while walking in a crosswalk. She was in her 5 Series BMW after running a red light.
Oh, I should have listened to that part.
Well, it doesn't count. Yeah, it don't count until we, you know, like, so you can change your guess at any time. Until it's time, you know, till we officially end the article. So you good. Yeah, well, sounds like that music teacher's career ended on a sour note. Guys? Come on, guys. Y'all know that was key.
I know nothing's wrong if it's funny.
I hear you. All the jokes can't be winners. Some of the jokes fall a little G-flat.
That was good, though.
Witnesses said the driver of the 5 Series BMW exited her car, but eventually got back in and drove away.
Holy shit.
One witness took a photo of the woman getting out the car and then driving off. A witness snapped this. Okay, yeah, the accident happened April 20th. On April 29th, Chavez, a Saddleback High School drumline instructor, was declared brain dead. Police received an anonymous tip about Clapp's whereabouts on Saturday evening and found her in a home in Southeast Santa Ana. There, they discovered Clapp had dyed her hair bright pink. She was also wearing a temporary dragon face tattoo and colored contact lenses. Shoot, what's this, Grand Theft Auto? We can't just change her character.
See, that's what happens with filters. With all these kids and they filters, she thought, I'll just put on a filter. No one will know it's me.
Yeah. Give me this wig and a dragon face a temporary. Didn't even commit to it. It is our belief that she did all that to elude capture, said Corporal Matt Wharton. Clapp fled on foot from police and then allegedly assaulted officers when they finally caught up to her.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she was walking and talking and still got all her teeth. All right. I'm sorry.
A canine officer was used to subdue Clapp. She was then transported to the hospital with injuries to her left arm. So they sick the dog on her. Chris Chavez, father Ralph Chavez, said he was grateful to the person who called in the tip. The tip that came in put this lady away. Thank you guys very much. I hope that she can never be on the streets again to do this to anybody else. I feel nothing for this lady right now. I've got a big battle with a broken family right now.
She's white.
All right. So Kataria is going with white. What about you, June?
Well, I would have to say, since she had a BMW, thought that these few cosmetic changes was going to change her entire life, then attacked the cops when they got them, and she's still standing. She's the cracker.
All right. Let's check the chat room. The girl with the dragon tattoo white.
Oh, that's a good one.
Gonna sue the police department for canine scars white. That is the height of privilege right there. Like, hey, your dog bit me though. I'm on $100,000. Got caught when she couldn't resist kissing the police dog in the mouth. Thought she was Jim, truly outrageous white. Katia was originally correct. Black. Sparta going off the board. Driving like she's one of the wacky races white. BMW was in her baby's name. Rob. That's so racist. But the correct answer is she was white.
But she's still living and still got all her teeth after attacking the police. I'd be dead. Right there with the car driver.
And some people missed it, as I put her picture in the chat for y'all to look at. Here we go.
I am so disappointed in what I'm looking at on my screen right now. Everything here is,
She likes she crying like Tammy Faye Baker too.
Yes, and it's running her tattoo. Look, it's running the tattoo. She got a line. Soon the one of them tears pop out.
She got a temporary face tattoo. What was she thinking? Oh, man, you should have just turned yourself in, lady. Man, you going to jail. Damn, what a dumb
reason.
Well, she
won't be there long, though, because, you know.
True, she get a good lawyer. She was driving BMW.
President Trump, that's going to be the first one he pardoned.
Yeah, she gonna get in more trouble for skipping she's gonna get in more trouble for driving away than she will for killing that man, I bet.
Right.
Yes. All right, let's go to the final segment, guys. It's been a fun show, but we got to talk about sword ratchetness.
I like sword ratchet.
Mm-hmm. That's right. People out here killing people with swords. A Bay City man is facing criminal charges that he threatened his son with a sword and used his boxer breed dog to stymie police attempts to arrest him.
Well, shit.
I know. Guess the race. White. About 11:30 p.m. Monday, May 23rd, police responded to a home on Wilson Street for a domestic violence complaint. An 18-year-old woman had called 911 reporting that her father, Jeffrey M. Guizdala, 39, was brandishing a sword at her 20-year-old brother. When officers arrived, they were...
Jeffrey Dollar or Creflo Dollar?
Jeffrey M. Guizdala. I don't know. Guizdala sound like something from Love and Hip Hop New York. Like Gwinnin, Guizdala's, I don't know. When officers arrived, they were met on the porch by Guizdala's daughter and his wife. They told police Guizdala was in the home on the couch with his protective and potentially vicious dog, which had been rescued from a dog fighting operation. When police shouted inside and asked Guizdala to get a dog to a family member, he refused and told officers they could talk with him through the door. Guizdala's son told police he was at a friend's house when Guizdala's wife called him because Guizdala was screaming at her. He came home and his apparently inebriated father got in his face. I was telling him he was acting like a child, the son told police. Then he reaches up and grabs a sword and says, I need to back the fuck up. He took the sword out of the sheath and started waving it around at me.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Daddy wasn't playing. He put the sword away when he noticed his 8-year-old son was behind him. So he wasn't all the way crazy. He wasn't all the way gone. The 20-year-old son retrieved the sword, measuring just more than 2 feet. Police asked the son to retrieve the dog, but his father kept refusing to turn it over. I came into the living room and also tried to get the dog away, wrote one officer in the report. Jeffrey put the dog between him and I as if he was using the dog as a shield or a weapon. He moved to the side and Jeffrey turned the dog towards me as the dog growled. The dog repeatedly opened his jaws but did not bite the officer. Eventually, the officer pulled out his taser and held it to Guizdala's right bicep. The officer were then able to handcuff Guizdala. Once Guizdala was detained, his wife told police the incident began when he grew upset over her Facebook page because she was being Facebook friends with a couple of guys he doesn't like.
Sounds kind of possessive.
Mm-hmm. There's that.
Mm-hmm. He was on that Johnny Depp. Guizdala on Tuesday appeared in Bay County District Court for arraignment on single counts of assault with a dangerous weapon, assaulting, resisting, and obstructing police, and domestic violence. The first two charges are felonies carrying 4 and 2 year maximum prison sentences, respectively, while the last charge is a 93-day misdemeanor. Arraignment judge set the bond at $50,000 cash surety. So... but yeah, you gotta watch out for these people, man. They use swords, then they use their dogs. I mean, they don't care, man. They turn on their own family.
Right.
I mean, you just chilling with your dad. He found out your mama Facebook friends with dude from down the street. Now you gotta worry about your life, and that's not cool. So make sure you guys get those swords registered, okay? Let's try to see if we can get some sword legislation passed, because we don't want to be dealing with this on a daily basis. Thank you so much, ladies, for being on the show with us.
Yay! Oh,
thank you.
Make sure you guys go out and support Kataria.
Now,
Karen got me doing it.
Yeah, you know,
I was so good the whole show.
Baby, I gotta apologize to you. I watch a lot of anime, so I called you a katana. Well, you be cutting just like a katana when you be telling the truth, so I apologize, baby.
Well, Katia, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Make sure you guys go and support Courage Meets Courage. Conference is at Rutgers. It's June the 12th, noon till 6. I'll have, like I said, the link for the event, right, is already in our Facebook group. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, if you're listening to this, it'll be in the show notes of this podcast. by the time that we put it out tonight. And also, you know, make sure y'all, you know, follow June on Twitter. Everybody knows
she's
June.
She's a fun follow.
She's JuneMo41. Mm-hmm. So I have her in the show notes as well, man. So thank y'all so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much and continued success, y'all. Thank you.
All, you know, we will. And good luck.
I ain't laugh so hard in a second. My side hurt.
Well, I'm glad we could bring some joy to you, Katia.
I know, sweetie.
And we'll be back tomorrow, and tomorrow is when we're reviewing Game of Thrones, everybody. So it's a day early because that's Justin's schedule, and Justin will be here tomorrow to review Game of Thrones. So I know you guys are gonna be super excited to hear him back on the show talking about everybody's favorite. So get your emails in before 7:30 tomorrow and mm-hmm. all that stuff, because we don't wanna miss out on anybody's feedback if we can. So until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. All right, chat.